You're going to hear the president address how our democracy is under attack, how our freedoms are certainly under attack. He's going to speak to what we've been seeing across the country as it relates to women's health care and the radical, extreme bills that we're seeing.
Corinne Jean-Pierre. And on that genius note, we begin the program, Thursday edition, The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash. Yeah, today is the State of the Union speech, and of all the issues and solutions that I suspect millions across the land will be hoping to hear from Joe Biden. Yeah, you're not going to get any of that. The president addressing our democracy is under attack. Yeah, got to create the boogeyman. Here are my notes. Where is this? Got that communist congressman from Texas, Joaquin, appropriately named Castro, up in central Texas, up in San Antonio. Joaquin Castro, communist Castro. Oh, yeah, they need to continue their effort to the left, the radical leftists, these lunatics destroying America, and all you people voting for these national Democrats, all these congresspeople, all these senators, stop it already. You want to save our country? Stop voting for radical leftists, all Democrats sent to Congress, all Democrats sent to the U.S., especially the White House. Just stop already. Stop voting for them. You don't want to vote for Donald Trump. You don't have to. But stop sending these idiots, these communists, quasi-communists, these socialists, these revolutionaries like Joaquin Castro up to Congress. We deserve the government that we have right now. We deserve the confusion that we have right now. Because you people keep voting. Every 2 years, you have a chance to replace these people, and you don't. In states all across the nation, you don't. So stop voting for them, especially this coming November. You don't like Donald Trump? Orange man, bad, all that stuff. Fine. Just don't. Don't send them. Let's send new people. Let other people vote some solutions. Send them up there. You know, this communist Joaquin Castro, because all these Congress people, pretty much all of them, they take a guest with them. They invite somebody to be in the gallery, overflow rooms. If I recall correctly, I think my buddy Dana. Dana, she was a guest of one of the Congress people last year. She got to experience that. So they take all these guests. So this communist Joaquin Castro up here up in central Texas in San Antonio, he's taking the wife of some rancher. They say it was murdered, and they say it was racism. Miss Martinez, she said, we need to stand up because we have a growing threat. Here's the boogeyman. Here's the boogeyman, the straw man, the it's white supremacy that is the biggest threat in our country. Dude, I'm just so tired. Look, yes, there are white supremacists. No, they are not the biggest threat to our country. Yes, they're full of hate. They're full of bigotry and all that stuff. But they're not the ones that are burning up American streets. They're not the one screwing up policy and allowing all this political and social and cultural upheaval taking place in our nation. They're not the ones who are rotting America. As if secretly some, you guys recall some years back after the terrorist attacks, and there were all these rumors and conspiracy theories. There were camps in our country. There were training Islamists, radical Islamists, and these potential terrorists, training camps in our country in the desert soils of West Texas and in hidden areas in the nation's midsection. It's the same darn thing, but from the radical leftists who want to create an enemy. They wish to create a boogeyman for everybody to be afraid of. Oh, it's white supremacists. All these white supremacists. They're building what? They're building army somewhere. They're doing tactical training, getting ready to overthrow the U.S. government. Yes, Serge! J6 is a great example. My J6 was a riot, a protest got way out of control. Let me tell you the only mistake that Donald Trump made, in my opinion. Only mistake that Donald Trump made in this crazy 2020 election, post-election period, with all this confusion, all these lax rules, all these swing states, all these metro areas, the lack of supervision, the fact that some of these swing states and lefty states and Democrat states, they sent out and mailed out all these live ballots everywhere to everyone, even dead people. They sent them out, just created put in place the conditions, the ingredients to bastardize, to destroy the election, to put into question everything that would come in on election night. And that issue itself, and thank you, Dinesh D'Souza, and thank you to other friends. All that information needs to be collected and properly chronicled in a book. I wish it had been done by now. I remember asking one of our congressmen that were looking, asking to tap the brakes after the election, asking to do an investigation, asking to assess all these votes that were coming in. But the process is, votes are certified by the state, the Secretary of State, are sent up to Washington. It's a process. You want to go through it, be done with it. And that's what happened. And all these, that's why the courts didn't want to get involved, so not to create all this chaos. But irregularities and the lack of rules, the lack of controls, the live ballots everywhere, the potential ballot stuffing and the questionable numbers that came in, it didn't take very much. We only have like a handful of states. Like maybe five or six states, really, that you need to concentrate on. And then within those states, the metro areas, the big cities, and the elections departments that could sway either way. You have uncontrolled, just like we did under COVID, uncontrolled election, a not properly regulated election. They removed all the rules to allow everybody to vote from home. Everybody stay home, just send in the ballots. Of course, 2020 was, and it just created all these questions. My opinion, Donald Trump, biggest mistake. I love you, Donald Trump. I'm voting for supporting you. You're not perfect, brother. I know you like to think you are, but you're not. But we need you. We need the America First mindset up in Washington, D.C. Your mistake was to call that meeting, call that rally in Washington, D.C. You had no business doing that. Because when you call thousands of people, some of it more excited or impressionable than others, a bit more self-control, but they allowed themselves to walk into a situation where they were literally escorted in, many of them escorted in to break the law. And you had plants in there with all sorts of belligerence and breaking of this and that and the other. It just got way out of control. There's no reason thousands and thousands should have been there on the Capitol, near the Capitol ground. They weren't even near. They had to walk like 2 miles away to get there. He never called for the insurrection. He never called for the overthrow. He never called for that. But, Mr. President, Donald Trump, right now it should have, would have, could have. It never should have happened. But all these idiots like Joaquin Castro, communist Joaquin Castro up from Central Texas, up in San Antonio, bringing the wife of a rancher who was murdered. They say it's white racism because the neighbor said that he didn't want Hispanics, or Hispanics don't belong in this country. There's a lot of questions with that case. That case needs to be properly fleshed out and communicated. But that being brought up by Joaquin Castro as a signature example. Forget the hundreds, if not thousands, and many probably already unreported incidents of crime in this country perpetrated by illegal immigrants. Yes, we got some high-profile ones, but behind every high-profile murder in this country of young women going to college, out for a jog, that wind up being their heads beaten in by some illegal immigrants who never should have been in here. There are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, more cases, smaller cases, from DWI to assault to shoplifting to homes broken into, individuals that rob other folks at parks. Like New York City, I have a dear friend up in New York PD, retired New York PD, telling me at parks in New York, it's a mess. Things are really, really bad in New York. And a president who takes to the microphone tonight and is supposed to focus on, and I would hope, admit to what the real problems are, but he's so clueless. He's not there. He's a puppet. It's, you know, since Joe Biden took office, it's been like Weekend at Bernie's ever since day one. He got, I don't know what, you got Obama pulling the strings behind the scenes, maybe. You got definitely his wife pulling the strings, a bunch of other mental midgets, bunch of leftists and Marxists behind the scenes pulling the strings, and Joe Biden is just the puppet out there representing since day one. And all they have on the left is hate. All they have is identity politics. All they have is to try to create something. And we don't have a president. That office has been devoid of any leadership, anybody recognizing problems and trying to solve problems. And worse than that, Joe Biden, by executive pen, day one, doing a 180 and reversing course. And we had a secure board. In fact, I remember KJP had a quote on that. Oh, yeah. It's cut number eight, Steve-O. Cut number eight with KJP.
Is the administration still debating taking executive action on immigration?
I mean, we've been clear about this. The bottom line is the best way to have move forward on dealing with immigration, dealing with the border challenges that we're seeing, was for Republicans to have gotten out of the way, not let the former president tell them what to do, and actually move forward with a bipartisan proposal that came out of the Senate. That would have been the toughest, the fairest way to have move forward with dealing with our immigration. As it relates to an executive action, that we believe that's the best way to do that. No executive action would have been able to have the impact that bipartisan proposal would have.
Oh, my goodness. No executive action could have secured the border. Woman, you had an executive action, plenty of executive actions that he undid, Joe Biden undid, that Donald Trump put into place that provided us a secure border. This is... I don't feel bad for her anymore. You know, I think she actually believes all the lies she goes out there and spews all the time. She's nothing but, has become nothing but a political sideshow Bob. It's beyond, it would be comical if it wasn't just so tragic and deadly. These immigration policies by Joe Biden, destroying the country, getting people killed, crime is up all over the place. Well, and by the way, the 180 in New York, you know, Kathy Hochul is in the news. Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, she's one of those guests at the State of the Union speech. So some New York congressperson is taking Governor Kathy Hochul. Is like, Governor Kathy Hochul will be the first sitting governor in like decades to be a guest of somebody sitting in Congress for the State of the Union speech. Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, been experiencing several epiphanies of late as a result of all these illegals, not exclusively, may I add, not exclusively transported up to New York by our wonderful governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott. All these charter buses. Oh, no, the federal government has done its part, yeah. 350,000 and more, I think that's just in 1 year. Federal government allowing, through NGOs and other programs, allowing illegals to fly into the country, and they want to fly to New York. They want to fly to Chicago. Yeah, the federal government, their efforts only complemented by Governor Greg Abbott to send these charter buses up to New York. And Kathy Hochul saying all these news reports that are not politically favorable to her or other Democrats, people waking up in New York, oh, no, maybe they might vote Republican someday. Maybe the Republicans were right. Maybe Donald Trump was right. Absolutely, he was right. You got cops getting beaten up in New York. And my friend up in New York in law enforcement, some people, these illegal immigrants going out to parks and literally... Well, not well. They are. They're committing crimes. They're shaking people down for cash, breaking curfew, in order to do that. Things are so bad in New York. She's calling out the guard to subways. What was that guy's name? Daniel Penny, right? Yeah. Daniel Penny. Remember him? The guy who tried to protect subway, you know, train riders because there was some punk there that was known to be a punk who would attack and beat up and slap and threatened subway riders in New York. Daniel Penny, Marine, put that punk in a headlock, and he died. And now the worthless prosecutor's office up in New York is hoping to put Daniel Penny in jail for that. That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw in the news yesterday that Governor Kathy Hochul was sending out her National Guard to the subways to protect New Yorkers from all the crime. So is Daniel Penny going to be released from jail now since, you know, he was right? Are these National Guard members, will they be allowed to put individuals in headlocks? Let's say some punk puts a National Guard member in a headlock. Can they do the same? Oh, the contradictions, the hypocrisy. It's all over the place. I don't know where Daniel Penny is right now. I don't know if he's still in jail or he bailed out. I wish somebody would invite him as a guest for the State of the Union speech tonight. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, reporting to you from South Texas.
As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, we're all going to have to go buy gold because the world's ending. You want to be able to have, you know, an actual physical thing that you can touch that as a hedge to all of this stuff with inflation, government spending. The gold IRA field it's like it can be confusing. And so if you're looking for a precious metals company to trust, it's not easy to do. One of the reasons why I like Goldco is because they make it really easy. They send you this whole awesome kit. It's that walks you through everything. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the whole economy, how gold IRAs work, and they just want to make it easy to understand so you can get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they understand too that precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. They have an unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service, and there's no pressure at all, no fees either. And you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Right on. Let's see what we got here. So self-service security from the Transportation Security Administration, TSA. Testing new self-service screening technology at the Vegas airport. Got some friends in Vegas. Man, that sounds kind of crazy. New setup would have, of course, fewer TSA agents at the security checkpoint, try to streamline operations. So you would be greeted, if you use the one in Vegas, you'd be greeted with a virtual agent, somebody on the screen, assist you with all sorts of questions that you need to answer. Direct you to, you know, the x-ray machines and all that, as long as they don't start using robots to, you know, pat you down and do certain body searches. Well, okay, maybe that's an easier way to take care of business. Let's see what else. Iowa women's basketball star Caitlin Clark is rolling in the cash. My producer told me that $900,000 salary this year might be $3 million next year if she sticks around to play. She has inked a deal with a major trading card and I wonder how much money she's making for her new trading cards from Caitlin Clark, NCAA all-time score for men and women's basketball. This is The Dana Show.
Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices, when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Some more political news tomorrow night. President Biden will deliver his State of the Union address. Biden's been practicing for weeks, not his speech, staying up past 9 o'clock. He'll do it. The average time of Biden's State of the Union is about 1 hour and 6 minutes. However, the feels like time is closer to 4 hours.
That's Jimmy Fallon. One of the few actually funny jokes on late night. This is The Dana Show. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday edition. I'm Sergio Sanchez from proud Dana Show affiliate, KURV in South Texas. It's the RGV of Texas. You know, Starbase, Elon Musk, our neighbor here in Brownsville. Yeah, he's got that launch facility here in Brownsville. It's the border right here on the U.S.-Mexican border, but we're on the blessed side, USA, USA. So thank you for joining us today. Yeah, we got the State of the Union speech, and I got a conversation I want to share with you here in just a little bit. A friend that I've made through these past couple of years, Dr. Paula Price, an academic and an author, Christian minister, proud black leader, Dr. Paula Price, on what she would love to hear from Joe Biden, but you know, you can bet good money you're not going to hear anything that we need to hear. So that conversation is coming up in just a little bit. And also later in the program, stick around because I had a conversation with Sid Miller, the Ag Commissioner, Agriculture Commissioner of the mighty state of Texas and in West Texas, the Texas Panhandle. You know, we do things bigger in Texas, and we even do catastrophes much bigger than anybody else. Those wildfires that like a million square miles is like ridiculous, like a huge swath of land in the Panhandle now moving into Oklahoma. Several people have been killed. Of course, they're irreplaceable. Hundreds of structures, thousands of cattle, like a bunch of cattle, livestock killed. So is that going to translate? I know it kind of sounds selfish, but I know you're thinking of this. Well, all those, you know, like 10,000 head of cattle gone. So does that mean my steak on a Friday night is going to be more expensive? Does that mean the steak that I buy at the grocery store is going to be more expensive? You'll find it interesting what he has to say about that, because the herd, the actual herd, is humongous. So we got the State of the Union and, you know, Joe Biden and KJP, as I lovingly refer to her as the political sideshow Bob of these days. And I think she actually believes all the lies that she says every single day. See, that's the gig. Under Joe Biden, you have to be a liar. Not good at it. You just have to be a liar. And I guess you can make that case for pretty much all presidents, right? You have to go out there and be the spin meister. Spin it, spin it, spin it. Make it look good. And I have to say, under Donald Trump, he had some good ones. He had some good represent some good spokespeople. They went out there, put facts to paper, and they weren't lying. They were just shooting from the hip. Fact, 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 fact. I wish, and you can't, because, you know, as much as I wish that KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, would be truthful and not be so defensive and not go to, you know, the standard line from the left and claiming racism and, you know, Orange Man is bad and Orange Man is responsible for all this and that Joe Biden is the greatest president ever, we see through it. And I would hope that a majority of, especially voters, see through it and actually work on that come November. So Joe Biden has stated the speech tonight in a spotlight, you know, KJP saying some of the administration's hard work on infrastructure, you know, and jobs and all that, which leads me to say this. You know, lawmakers up in D.C., they passed a huge bill that was supposed to provide or incentivize computer chip manufacturing for everything that we're dependent on. For China, pharmaceuticals, did you know that? Like the majority of pharmaceuticals, the fever reducers, antibiotics, medical equipment. Now 3 years removed, or maybe 2 years, 3 years removed from COVID. We're still dependent on China for all that stuff to come in on big boats and cargo containers. We have lost the focus, sense of priority for national security, especially on the medical side, equipment. And pharmaceuticals. And we found out that, you know, thanks to our dependence on China and Taiwan and, you know, Asia, when it comes to all this technology, computer chips, well, they passed, what was it, like a 50-some-odd billion-dollar bill up in D.C. to incentivize computer chip manufacturing. It was all for nothing. We were all excited here for the past 2+ years. Some investors, I think they were foreign, so they were going to set up a big old computer chip maker here in Deep South Texas. Part of the exciting news here in my area of the world that is transitioning from misery and poverty. The past 2 decades transitioning from misery and poverty to prosperity. And thank you, Elon Musk. God bless Elon Musk and SpaceX and liquefied natural gas that Joe Biden's trying to get rid of. We got billions of dollars of investment here in Deep South Texas and Texas-Mexico border. And computer chips are going to be built here, both because, you know, lawmakers, we're in a 50-some-odd billion-dollar investment, incentivize all this. No, they moved the goal. They moved the goalpost. The policy changed up in D.C., and we got screwed. Here in McAllen, Texas, that computer chip manufacturing ain't happening. How many computer chips are we developing now in this country? Anybody following that? Any lawmakers, any senators? They should. They should be paying attention to whatever happened to the billions of dollars set aside to incentivize America-made wafers, computer chip technology. That's a big issue. And we're still dependent on Asia. We're still dependent on China for that. And it should not be that way. And, of course, as I said, all the pharmaceuticals as well. All right, so you got the State of the Union speech. Joe Biden, I don't know what they're going to inject him to keep him awake for, 60 minutes. I'll be watching him to see how he negotiates going down the ramp and then up the stairs to the actual podium. That's another thing to watch for tonight, how sad the conditions are these days. Let me share with you a conversation with my friend, conservative Dr. Paula Price, educator, Christian minister, black female conservative, a powerhouse, Dr. Paula Price, author of the Prophet's Dictionary. Dr. Price, if you had a chance to speak with Joe Biden, try to set him straight and tell him, you need to mention this, and this at the State of the Union speech. What would you tell him?
The first thing I would tell him is stop touting his busy work as an accomplishment when we face so many vital and crucial challenges as a nation. That would be the first thing. So I'd love him to talk about what he did to encourage the immigrant inrush that is right now bombarding our country. So I'd want him to talk about that. I'd want him to talk about what is he doing about the drug cartels and that are bringing in the fentanyl that's definitely destroying our land. I'd love him to talk about that. Sweet. I'd love him to talk about why he thinks Bidenomics is a real, real good thing, since we are all at the pumps and at the grocery store not feeling that. So I'd love to hear that. In terms of that, and I'd love for him to tell me, how is it that we have so much money to pay for other people's wars when we are trying to feed ourselves and keep our own businesses afloat? So Amen. Those are some of the things. But I have one more that I think is going to be a little bit upsetting, but I'm going to say it because, well, I think you'll agree. I would also love him to tell me why he keeps calling us a democracy when we're a republic.
It's called willful ignorance. That's what it is. And I'm trying to keep people dumb, stupid, the electorate as well. Well, sounds to me like, man, you had those topics tip of your tongue, ready to go, ready to fire. And, well, sadly, none of that is going to happen under this administration. But let's look at the electorate now. And a lot of people waking up in Chicago and in New York and Philadelphia and Denver, and you name it, all these so-called sanctuary cities, especially the ones of late, because, for example, California, San Francisco, Northern California, they've been lost for the longest time. People are upset. They can't do nothing. They're outnumbered 9-1 by the communists and the socialists and these power government-loving people and all these leftist do-gooders that are just bankrupting and destroying Northern California. But of late, we have Chicago, and we've got New York, and all these people finally realizing, oh, man, this sanctuary stuff really didn't work out, and you got folks who are in the community, including blacks, leaders, church leaders, community leaders, saying, hey, what's going on? You're prioritizing individuals who broke the law, entered illegally, have made it all the way into the country, and we got stuff to pay for around here, for families, for kids, community centers, all that stuff. Do you think that at some point our American community in big cities, deep blue Democrat cities, will wake up and start voting differently? Stop voting for these Democrats and their apologists that are ruining the nation with their policies.
Well, I think that they will. And I see them as doing so. One of the things that have been impressing me is how many of our black celebrities are waking up and saying, wait a minute. My childhood may have been, you know, died in the world democracy or Democrats, but right now I'm a success in this country. I've got my big piece of the American dream, and I'm not looking forward to having my tax bill higher than my income. I'm not looking forward to having to step over immigrants just to ride through the cities in my state or town. I'm not looking forward to my kids having to be, you know, pushed out by these immigrants. Now, I want to go on record to say I don't have a problem with people wanting a better life. I promise you, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with them coming in as a flood, and there's nothing to deal with. I also think that we don't want our taxes to go up because we want to pay for immigrants who have been invited in by our president. I promise you, there's an article out there that said President Biden told us to come. Now, that's when this first began, and I've been looking for that article because it came through my feed. So then I need to know why my president has set his nation up, the nation that he's supposed to guard and defend, up to be flooded with immigrants, people with little or no education, no money, and now they're getting credit cards, they're getting a benefit, they're getting everything that we get declined for. So I think even as black people, because, you know, we had all of that at one point, I think as black people, as we've grown up, we have more to lose. And because we have more to lose, we're losing it, and that is something that's causing us to take a new look at the Democratic Party.
the disparity at the airport. You got illegal immigrants, processed, released. They got a folder. They're not required to produce like picture ID. They're not required to produce all sorts of documents, driver's licenses. And yet citizens that want to hop aboard that same plane, they have to, you know, get your driver's license, you get your picture ID, you got everything. You have all these rules that you have to abide by as a citizen, and yet all these folks who crossed illegally and have been given a chance to come in and stay for Lord knows how many years, probably forever. It's just another example of the disparity and the contradiction that is the Democrat leadership that we have right now. Donald Trump, what does he need to do? Oh, by the way, my guess is Dr. Paula Price, conservative, activist, educator, minister, proud black leader in America. What does Donald Trump need to do to maximize the political return on this? I'm thinking, Dr. Price, I know Illinois, the land of Lincoln, went blue a long time ago. But now that people are waking up, I think he needs to reach out to all those leaders in Chicago and across the state of Illinois and say, folks, are you ready to save our country? I think he needs to do a bunch of rallies in the state of Illinois.
Well, I think he needs to do a bunch of rallies in the state of Illinois, but also across the country. One of the things that Donald Trump has in his favor, which he may be saving for the campaign trail, is that he's done it before, so he can do it again. See, he is running on a record that changed America.
Yes, ma'am.
The only reason people are disturbed with him right now is because the media painted him as on his character or his demeanor. So he is a demeanor besmirched candidate. But Donald Trump got us back to work, got the gas down, had food in there, brought those corporations back home. This man has a proven track record as the head of state, not as somebody's corporation, the head of state. So the first thing I would tell him to do is play your success, because his is there. People are remembering it. People are now saying, yeah, well, it was better under Donald Trump, wasn't it? Right, because the hypnosis is gone. And we're now, because, you know, poverty and layoffs will get rid of your delusions. And so that was the first, one thing. And the second thing that I would tell him to do is to play up the fact that we are a republic. And we are, think about it, the United States is a republic. We are Republicans. Guess what we're named after? We're named after the Constitution.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
That ought to, we're not a democracy. What is wrong with a president sitting in the Oval Office talking about we're a democracy? We're not. I would play up those two, because here's why. When we allow them to erase the whole or to disdain republicanism, we actually changed the power of words. Words have power. And so people, the media kept saying we're democracies, the schools, the institutions, the training, the businesses, everybody called us a democracy. Do you realize that most of the people in this millennial group do not know that we are a republic? And so I think that we need to bring that out. They don't want to teach it in school.
That's right.
Let our civic leaders say it over and over again. Because
yes, ma'am.
That's the brain.
Yeah, we lost that. The proper civics, proper inculcation, education, proper civics from the true American liberty-based perspective. Yeah, that was lost a long time ago. Dr. Price, where do folks find you online?
DrPaulaAPrice.com.
Thank you, Dr. Price. Be well. Yes, that will be the willfully ignorant battle cry that I'm expecting from Joe Biden. Save democracy, orange man bad. Save democracy from the orange man. Try to create a boogeyman, the white supremacy. In the meantime, things are bad. Things are bad. And they see it at the White House. And they don't want to acknowledge that Joe Biden screwed up. And these leftist policies are all failed policies, like Barack Obama would like to say about market-minded policies, allowing the businesses to expand, the tax base to expand. All these failed ideas. No, we need to grow from the bottom up, all this stuff. Let me leave with a cut from KJP on that segment. Look, they're losing support from Hispanics. They're losing support from blacks. It's cut six, Steve-O, and then we go to break. Cut six real quick. Okay, we're out of time for this segment. I'll play it later. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show in South Texas.
All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day allotment, Live and Thrive Guarantee. They also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need, any trees, any plants. They make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for a limited time, so tell them we sent you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
2020, when the president won, in his victory speech, he thanked black voters for their outsized role in his historic win. He said that he would have their backs. Polling and anecdotal reporting shows that a significant number of black voters still feel that the president hasn't completely had their backs or have not felt the impacts of this administration's policies. How much of this speech does the president see as an opportunity to lay out what he believes he has done to have the backs of black Americans?
So look, we understand that it's complicated, right? In the sense of what the American people have gone through the last 3 years. Uh-huh. We came in, there was a pandemic, and there was an economy that was in a tailspin. So we get it. We get that Americans, some Americans are trying to still figure out where we are and what's going on.
Yeah. Well, at least she's KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, as far as blacks leaving Donald Trump, blacks maybe leaving, hopefully leaving the Democrat Party plantation, finally waking up. And I'm hoping that's the case in New York. I'm hoping that's the case in Chicago. Other places right now overrun by illegal immigrants. Again, this is Joe Biden and Democrat policies and all his apologies. Yeah, it's bad for the Democrats. That was a Fox poll. I talked with a friend of mine this morning from the network. I think 48-49% Hispanic support for Donald Trump. Man, we are far removed from the 33%, 35% support for the Bushies many years back on the Republican side. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting from South Texas.
Black Rifle Coffee, this is the coffee that I drink every day. They have so many great roasts. It's just the best coffee that you can get on the market. Blackbeard's Delight is my jam right now. That's the pirate coffee. Blackbeard's Delight is my absolute jam. I have to have this. I'm a member of the coffee club. And so you can join the coffee club, get 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana. And then you could be like me, pick like, I usually do like Silencer Smooth and Blackbeard's Delight. And I might do, I might do a dark roast, super dark roast, like the Tacta Squatch. I'll do that. And then I have it shipped to my house. I choose how often I want to deliver. I don't even want to get to like a quarter of the bag left. Like I need a new shipment before I even get there. And I don't have any shipping fees. It shows up right on my porch. So I never run out of coffee. So pick your coffee and your quantity. And you're going to save so much more than if you were going to get the bougie stuff in the store. This is so much more affordable. And again, right to your door. Fresh, veteran owned, veteran roasted. Right to your door, veteran roasted. That's a new thing. No shipping fees. And you can also get grinders and kettles and mugs and so much more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. And again, my favorites are the Tacta Squatch Roast. It's a dark roast. And I also really dig the Blackbeard's Delight and Silencer Smooth. Those are my three jams right now. But you can go get my coffee, get whatever roast you want. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the coffee club. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. And save money on high-quality roasted coffee right here in America. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana.
Well, it's my understanding that the president is both going to talk to the American people about the progress that has been made with respect to how things started, a once-in-a-century pandemic, the economy completely shut down, and the efforts led by President Biden to turn things around, to build an incredibly healthy economy, to restore good-paying American jobs. We see wages are going in the right direction. Gas prices are coming down. That's an important context for the American people to understand. But I think the president will also make clear that we know we have to finish the job.
Yeah. What, killing America? Is that finish the job? Yeah, that's Hakeem the Nightmare Jeffries. In another universe, he'd be Hakeem the Dream, but no, Hakeem the Nightmare Jeffries. This is The Dana Show. I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and we're reporting to you today from proud Dana Show affiliate, KURV in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, live to the nation, online to the world, everywhere. As I like to say, from Starbase, that's right, Elon Musk, our neighbor, he's building his rocket launch, multiple rocket launch pads and facilities down here. Starbase, Texas, is South Texas. All right, so we got the State of the Union speech. And yes, turn things around, says Hakeem. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, well, how many things? Pretty much everything turning around. Which, by the way, and something that he said, the whole pandemic thing, yet I would hope and pray that we learned our lesson as a nation. The mistakes that we made when too many of us were afraid and surrendered our liberties. I would hope and pray that those who do pray for a living, those people that run churches and run denominations, and next time you realize that separation of church and state is a reality that the state had no business shutting you down. The state had no business coming into your place and making all sorts of threats and arresting you and fining you for being a house of worship in a time of crisis. I mean, what's going to happen next time that we have a situation like this? Too many of y'all do not understand, like Dr. Paula Price last hour was explaining, we're not mob rule, we're not a democracy, we're a representative republic. There are different strata, several layers that you need to go through before you take people's property, people's liberty, people's lives away. And we've allowed this ignorance to infest the land and poison American liberty. Turning things around, Joe Biden. Yeah, first thing he did, and a signature issue, border. This mess that we have right now, it's a signature, is the border. The border mess Joe Biden exacerbated, he created. He did not create illegal immigration. He made it exponentially worse, the worst ever. And turning things around from having someone who actually knew how to manage companies. And, you know, Donald Trump, you hate him, you hate Orange Man, you think he's a racist, you think he's a criminal, you have no way to actually communicate that. You have no example to tell me, tell anyone. You just know you hate him. You've bought the lie. You've been spoon-fed by leftists at MSNBC, all these clueless news networks, CNN, leftists, all these writers, all these social media idiots. You've been spoon-fed all these lies. You're racist, and a xenophobe, and all this stupidity. And I can't help you if you're not willing to open up your mind, if you're not willing to listen, willing to understand how good you have it as an American. We went from having a business-savvy and multi-billionaire who took a few million dollars and created a billion-dollar-plus brand, an empire, and knew how to keep things in the black, an individual who loves America, Donald Trump, and willing to protect America on all things, on trade, on border issues, on healthcare issues, everything. We removed a business manager, a savvy one, a competent business manager who knew how to negotiate the economy from trade to making sure that individuals and companies, more importantly, were able to keep their capital to invest and reinvest and spur that, lower taxes, especially for businesses. As John F. Kennedy once was quoted as saying, and that quote probably from somebody else, a rising tide will lift all boats. I know Ronald Reagan ran with that as well. We are a capitalist society, quasi-capitalist, because there's a lot of government intrusion into many things. But we are a market-based economy, consumer-based economy. You shut things down, you send the consumers home, because we, our nation, yes, and Donald Trump made a mistake on this. He listened to all these egghead doctors, listen to Fauci way too much. Listen to all these for some physicians, some doctors, and I know we got a lot of doctors, especially here in South Texas, listening to this Dana Show affiliate. I love y'all, and have this great respect for everybody. Anecdotal, one physician in particular, who was helping me with family. If you give control to an individual like him, we would be in misery. Perpetual misery and poverty and fear. Some of these physicians have the mindset that everyone should be at home, cover their faces, take every single injection and every single vaccine that's provided, all these medicines, stay indoors, stay away from each other, don't touch each other, don't go to work, don't go out, just living in fear, constant fear. And the government should be empowered to take liberty away, to shut you down, to arrest you, put you away in case you do not obey. I mean, that's the mindset from some of these physicians who think they know it all, and they don't. You know medicine. You know human anatomy. You know pharmaceuticals. You don't know liberty. You don't know market activity. You don't know the Constitution. You don't know America, and yet you practice and you thrive and you make millions working in this country. For some of these individuals, they're nanny, daddy, do-gooders. They want to shut everything down. And Donald Trump made a mistake, listening too much, giving credence, giving time way too much to end of it, like Dr. Fauci and others, who did nothing but create fear in this country, who lied to us, who shut everything down. Counties and states nationwide shut down because of, up at Washington, the White House, Dr. Fauci, and all these people constantly giving all these recommendations to shut it down for 2 weeks, stop the spread, all this stupidity. I would hope and pray that as a nation, we learned our lesson not to make the same mistake again for a pandemic, for a new virus that was barely infecting anyone. And yes, it was deadly. Yes, I do remember the stacks of bodies. In Europe, they got it bad first. And we had stacks over here at local health authorities. But right now, shoulda, woulda, coulda. The shoulda, woulda, coulda now is to take the success stories, take the good and get rid of the bad, and understand how we are going to react next time to make sure we do not destroy the mental health, for example, of children, do not destroy the mental health of individuals who are perhaps would be vulnerable to any novel virus. We knew from the very, very beginning that it was the old people, folks that had medical conditions, and the old people in nursing homes. And I'm so glad right now that I see news this week that former Governor Andrew Cuomo up in New York is finally being dragged to go speak to some lawmakers up in D.C., going in front of a committee to answer questions on his bungled, failed, dare I say, murderous response to COVID at the outset. All these lax rules allowing COVID to go into all these nursing homes, not protecting them, and so many people died, so many old people, so many grandmas and grandpas died in nursing homes. We need to learn our lesson. I would hope and pray, but I don't think we are. I think next time something bad happens, all these churches will be willing to bend a knee immediately, allow the government to come in and take over. A lot of businesses, too many of them, out of fear, they say, okay, shut me down again. There's lessons to be learned, because there might be another one coming in the future. So we took a savvy businessman who knew how to run business, grow the market, and replaced him with an incompetent boob, a generation-long career politician who never made payroll, never managed anyone outside of his office staff, and they was constantly sniffing, I'm sure. Turned American strength and as far as foreign policy to weakness. What else? Turned our policy towards Iran, for example. If there was ever a time, if it's ever we had a time, an opportunity as American citizens to clean house, because we do have that opportunity every 2 years to get rid of every single congressional member. We don't, because there's so many people that are disengaged. I mean, I'm looking, for example, just my metrics here in Deep South Texas. We have one county that has almost a half million people that are registered to vote in one specific county here in South Texas. And during this Democrat and Republican primary that we just went through, we had no better than like 13-14% of those people who showed up to vote participate. And there were a lot of local races. There were judgeships, justice of the peace, local courts to decide, sheriff's offices, state representation, so on and so on and so forth. The non-sexy politics that I refer to every now and then, because everybody, they all vote, they all seem to vote, or many, many more people vote for president. But when it comes to the local races, oh, no, nobody pays attention. And that's key. That's where the bullpen is for politics, especially when it comes to city and especially when these days, now more than ever, school districts. We only had a paltry, 12-13% show up to vote. So, and I'm asking, if we have about, for example, that one county here in Texas, here in South Texas, where I'm broadcasting, one of several counties that makes up my market, if almost a half million are registered, where are Where's the remainder, you know, 370, 380,000 people, just by percentage? Where is everybody? Where are you? And you take this example and multiply it nationwide. The American electorate, American citizens, are disengaged. They are willfully uninformed. And hence, that is a recipe for disaster. We have a golden opportunity to clean house every single 2 years. American voters, all these congressional districts, they should be, and it starts with primaries, but they should be putting in new talent, getting rid of the old, because these politicians, once they get the power, they will not release the reins. They will not give up voluntarily that power. The power is in the hands of the voters. A lot of people say, well, Serge, that's why we need term limits. I do not agree. How much more of your liberty, how much more of your Constitution reaffirmed and protected freedom and power as a citizen, as a voter? How much more are you willing to give up now? You need a law to do your job to get rid of these people? You barely vote just by the number. You barely vote. You're right. You barely vote. Much less actually participate and run for school board and run for county and run for state representative, much less run for Congress. Go up there and provide some common sense. No, it's time for America to wake up. Things need to get really, really bad, sadly, in order for people to wake up. We have a golden opportunity to clean house. Give you an example. It's a pocketbook issue. It's cut five, Steve-O. Adam Schiff, running for the Senate out of California, cut five.
But also how he'll continue to address these challenges that people are facing. People are working harder than ever and still struggling to pay the rent or pay their mortgage or put food on the table. So both what he has done, which is remarkable, what he is going to do.
Whose fault is it that Americans can't pay their rent, can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their car payment, can't pay their local taxes for their properties, can't pay the bills for food? Whose fault is that, Adam? Full of? Schiff, it's Joe Biden's fault. We had a boob at the White House who can't manage anything, mismanage the comeback of the economy from basic things. Stop calling for the printing of fake monopoly money, electronic money to the tune of trillions of dollars. That's our grandchildren, that's our great-grandchildren having to pay the interest on all that. I hope to God that we survive what we have allowed these politicians to do, print all this fake monopoly money, mismanagement of the White House at a time when we had ships full of stuff that needed to come ashore. Some leader, like, I don't know, maybe Donald Trump would have called, okay, it's time to get the truck drivers with the National Guard, time to get the truck drivers with the military, get out there and empty all those ships and distribute everything to the stores and everything to the market that needs to be properly distributed and get back to work immediately. But no, he just sat on his diaper the whole time, Joe Biden, and did absolutely nothing. We have a golden opportunity right now. And I hope and pray that it's bad enough because of illegal immigration in big blue sanctuary cities and all these citizens that can't pay their food bill and can't pay their light bill and can't pay their rent. I hope they wake up come November and stop voting stupidly. And unfortunately, I got to connect the dots for you again. Stop voting for national Democrats. Do not send them back to Congress. Do not send them back to the Senate. Absolutely do not send these America-hating Democrats back to the White House. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, reporting to you from South Texas.
People who help bring you free radio, the folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They've been my cell phone service for the past decade. And right now, you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but without funding the far left, without funding DEI, without funding open borders and gun control. And when you switch, you can speak to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy for you to switch. Keep your phone on your number or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Looking for the... Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
important for the American people as he knows it and understands it, and as you all have been talking about it this morning, to hear directly from him on his vision, how what he has done in the last 3 years, he's done more in the last 3 years, Willie, than most presidents have been able to do in their first, in their two terms. And so that is going to be important for the president tonight.
Yeah, you know, KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, as I like to call her, or political sideshow Bob, you know, she's right to a certain extent, she's right. The only word that's missing in there is like, Joe Biden has done more in the last 3 years to destroy America than most presidents. Yeah, if you could just add that little snippet in there, she'd be right on point. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Do me a favor, Steve, holler at me when it's time to get the heck out of here. Check this out. New White House video showing President Joe Biden getting advice for his State of the Union speech. You think that he'd be getting advice from policymakers, economists, border security individuals, maybe even, I don't know, mayors who realize they made a mistake in calling themselves sanctuary cities or states and say, well, we need to turn things around, Mr. President. You think he'd have individuals, I don't know, from the Pentagon giving advice, Mr. President, we need to do this, that, and the other, and make sure to, you know, try to improve recruitment for the military, which, by the way, I got an interview coming up on the awful recruitment numbers in our nation and sadly what probably would need to happen to turn things around. That's coming up later in the show. No, Joe Biden is getting advice on the State of the Union speech from a group of actors. That's right. Tinseltown, the tinsel, the fake veneer, the no substance, flashy fake actors providing him advice. Morgan Freeman among them, Michael Douglas, Gina Davis, all these people providing him advice for the speech. My goodness, we are so lost right now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That, you know, there are a couple of events in history that, you know, transcend politics and are piercing. I think 9/11 is one of those issues that people remember, and I think January 6th is one of those issues. And I think, you know, Donald Trump being, you know, one of the first American presidents to not want to peacefully transition power. It's something that's in the minds of people.
Do you think it will be front and center, the first thing on voters' minds come November?
I think democracy will, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, for every single voter, that is January 6th. I think that democracy can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah, his name is Quentin. I don't want to say his last name because I'm afraid I might say it, pronounce it wrong and remove the L. He works for Joe Biden. He's a campaign's spokes guy. Yeah, democracy will be the main issue because we're losing our country on those. You know, Mr. Q might be correct to a certain extent. If you think about it, if you dig a little deeper, you know, use the gray matter between your ears. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to the Dana Show, and we're still in Texas on blessed soil, except we're in South Texas. Dana's in North Texas, and Lord willing, Dana will be back with us on Monday. Okay, so back to Mr. Q, Mr. Quentin. He works for Joe Biden. Well, yeah, you know, democracy. Democracy will be on the minds of voters come November. Well, sure. If you take a look at what some of these new future Republican black voters, these Hispanic, Latino, you know, these voters that are doing the pivot over to the Donald Trump side and the Republican side right now, think about that come November, because, you know, inflation is really bad, because, you know, the number one problem is still number one problem. And that is what all the polling data is saying. All the voters, all people that went to all these primaries and voted across the nation, it's immigration number one. Of course, the prices of everything, but immigration. Yeah, we're losing our nation. And because we're losing our nation, we're losing our, and this is very real for people that live in sanctuary cities. In Chicago, in Philadelphia, in New York, Washington, D.C., Denver, you name it, L.A., you keep going. They're losing housing. They're losing their communities, community centers, parks, other places that are now housing all these illegal immigrants, people abusing the system. Their schools as well, kids being kicked out of school because they need to use them as shelters. Oh, you guys, kids can go back home and learn online. Losing medical facilities. Already stretched thin medical institutions in the area stretched even more as a result of having to provide assistance and medical care for the thousands upon thousands and thousands of people that are in the country illegally now. And the flood of illegal immigrants. So, yeah, democracy, we are losing our democracy as a result of people. We are losing our nation as a result of people coming in here, abusing the system illegal under Joe Biden. That is undeniable. Hey, listen, on the State of the Union speech tonight, I do not expect Joe Biden to address, for example, one group of people that helped put food on our table. It's the ranchers, farmers, and especially ranchers now. You guys would like a good steak, maybe medium, maybe a little softer than that, less cooked than that. We have at least, at last estimate, I'm going to share a conversation I had with Sid Miller, the Ag Commissioner of the state of Texas. West Texas, Texas Panhandle, all that vast expanse of land, the huge expanse of land that is the Texas Panhandle. And now in Oklahoma, wildfires, thousands and thousands of heads of cattle, all that cattle killed, the dead, burned. And some of that cattle will need to be taken down because they're partially burned and they're maimed. Any of that going to affect the price of beef on the table? I tell you, for those people that have lost everything, like 500 structures lost, homes and sheds and some of these buildings that have been lost, all that fencing, all that cattle has been lost. Some of these homes that have been lost, they were uninsurable because they were maybe manufactured homes. That's a quirky thing in the insurance business. And they lost their livelihood, hundreds and hundreds of heads of cattle, each farmer. How are they going to live now? You think Joe Biden's going to talk about that? I would bet good money that it's not going to happen. Americans in need, in a crisis. I mean, he didn't address the issue when it came to those train cars derailed and poisoning, that land. I don't think he's going to address this issue of ranchers and farmers, Texas and Oklahoma, because they're Americans. It's not the illegal immigrants that are getting all his attention and money these days. Veterans, for example. Veterans are on the plate for tonight. They're on the script for tonight for Joe Biden to help veterans. He's going to fight cancer. He's going to help veterans. Proposal. One way to help veterans. How about you call for all that money being given to illegal immigrants, those debit cards, $9,000 debit cards for every single illegal immigrant. How about you call for something like that for some of these veterans? Okay, let me share with you this conversation I had on how bad it is for some Texas ranchers after the wildfires. Devastation in the Texas Panhandle. That wildfire moved into Oklahoma as well. Huge, huge wildfire. To put things into perspective, he's the Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Texas. My friend, Sid Miller. Commissioner, appreciate your time today. Can you give us some numbers? I know I saw one report that said like 500-plus structures were burned, a lot of them homes, but thousands of head of cattle. What numbers can you tell me how bad it was in the Texas Panhandle, these wildfires?
Sure, I'll just go through the whole thing and,
yes, sir.
And get it all out there to get your listeners updated as to where we are. First of all, this is the worst fire in the history of our state. It's well over 1 million acres, probably close to 1.5 million by the time it's out. The big fire, Smokehouse Creek fire, is over 1 million acres just by itself. So what we know so far, and these numbers will change, they will probably go up, 7,000 dead cattle. That's probably a low number. It could even double that. Haven't got in there and got all those counted. We'll get that from the USDA. We'll have a number in probably a couple of weeks. That number does not include all the cattle that we're going to have to euthanize. A lot of these cattle no longer have hooves. Their udders are beyond repair. Oof. So we've got a lot of orphan calves. A lot of the dairymen are kicking in and sending over fresh cows, dairy cows that can handle 7 or 8 calves. So that helps. You are correct. We've lost over 500 houses and barns in that area, and that number will continue to climb. So 500 structures, 500 plus structures. We had 3 deaths, unfortunately. One including the fire chief from Fritch, Texas. He was fighting a structural fire and lost his life just a couple of days ago. So this is a huge fire. It's over 2,000 square miles. That's, runs, like you said, all the way from just east of Amarillo across the Panhandle into western Oklahoma. And it's, I think, 4 of the 5 big fires are in the Canadian River Basin. So it runs from east to west, from just north of Amarillo right into western Oklahoma, the Canadian River. And it's pretty rough country, a lot of canyons. It's, some of it's hard to get to access, so makes it kind of tough. And a lot of grass in those canyons this time of year, and it's all dry.
All right.
So we've got 120 miles of power lines down. So that means a lot of these communities have no electricity. This is kind of an arid part of the state, so there's not a lot of pond water. Most of the livestock is watered from wells and water troughs, so no grass and no water. Kind of makes it double tough.
It's a bad combination.
Having to haul water to a lot of these cattle.
Yes, sir.
Let's see, we closed 16 schools. Two of them may have fire damage. We haven't got a report back on that as to what extent. We lost 7 grain and feed dealers, 100% gone, inventory, bins, equipment, all gone. Let's shift gears, people that want to help.
Okay.
I would send my Facebook page, Facebook.com/Middleford Texas. We post everything there. They can go to our official website, texasagriculture.gov, or just search Texas Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. You will find there our hay hotline. If you want to donate hay, we need it. We need hay more than we need anything. We need sack feed. We need cubes, protein tubs, things like that. You will also find drop-off points around the state and other states. And you'll also find delivery points in the panhandle where this stuff needs to be dropped if you want to ship it directly up there.
Excellent.
If you don't have hay or feed, but you have a truck and trailer, we need that too. Or if you just want to donate money for gas, we'll take that. Our STAR Fund, there's a link there for that. That is State of Texas Agriculture Relief Fund. That is a fund where I raise private money. It's not taxpayer dollars. We take 100% of that money and put it back into the farmer's pocket to buy things that insurance doesn't cover. Mainly, it'll be buy wire and post to rebuild. Well, there's probably 3,000 to 4,000 miles of fence up there that's going to have to be rebuilt. I don't have the numbers exact on that, but $10,000 a mile, these people are going to need a little help.
Everything.
So the STAR Fund, the hay hotline, and most importantly, I want everybody to grab a pencil or get your phone. You may want to put this number in your phone. Is our mental health helpline. There is a suicide line. Anybody can call 988, but they don't understand agriculture. I started my own. It's called the Agri-Stress Helpline. Agri-Stress Helpline. I'll give you the number in just a second. My people are trained in agriculture and assets and resources that can help agriculture people. So they have over 300 hours training. They're all ag people. So
all right.
When a farmer calls my hotline, he gets an ag person that knows where they send them to the USDA to get help for emergency loans, livestock indemnity, disaster payments. They can send them to us to access our STAR Fund. They can get them some mental health expert help right there in their local community.
Okay.
So the two highest occupations in this United States for suicide are our veterans and our farmers. And farmers are number one. So
yes, sir.
We've had this hotline up running about a year. So far, we've helped or saved about 170 people.
Sid Miller is Ag Commissioner for the state of Texas. What is that number, Sid, for folks that may need it?
All right, Agri-Stress Helpline, 833-897-2474. 833-897-2474.
Okay.
And listen, leave this line is just for mental health. If you want to donate hay or money or a T-post or wire, go to our website, texasagriculture.gov, and you'll find instructions how to do just that. But
yeah.
I'd like to keep this Agri-Stress Helpline open. You know, we had, I didn't mention this, but we had $1 million donation to our STAR Fund. Actually, 500,000 of it went to our STAR Fund from HEB, our wonderful grocery.
Good for them.
Grocery chain.
Good for them, yeah.
So, yes, good for them.
That's a Texas-based grocer, people. I know we're doing the nationwide broadcast, but you may have heard of HEB, or as I lovingly refer to them, HE Butt, because the B is Butt. That's a Butt family.
Yeah.
The 20th richest grocery family in the country. They got $19 billion in the bank, and we appreciate their help. And speaking of the grocer, I don't mean to sound selfish here, but obviously with the loss of thousands of heads of cattle like this, that's got to worm its way into the price at the grocery store for that steak, right, and at the restaurant as well. So you're expecting to see an increase in prices here pretty soon, right?
You know, let's say we've lost 10,000 head up there, but we have 11 million head just in Texas.
Ooh, man, that's
so
a lot.
So overall, it's okay. Going to affect the cattle inventory less than 1%. So
isn't
I don't think we'll see surges at the grocery store. That's price gouging because it's just not enough to change the
I'm glad you said that. Good. I better not see a big increase in the price of my steak. Well, I'm glad you said that, Commissioner. Sid Miller, Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Texas. Is it true that 80% of the cattle industry, all those steaks, about 80% is in West Texas, in the Texas Panhandle?
Actually, 85% is in the Texas Panhandle. Most of those cattle are unscathed, though. Most of those are in feedlots or dairies. And we didn't have any losses in any feedlot or any dairy. Mainly because they're not surrounded by high vegetation, so they're not subject to. And most of them are in cultivated areas too. They were fine. The cattle we lost up there are cow calf operators and stocker operations.
I heard that even the state of California was sending in some firefighters to try to help out, try to contain that fire.
You know, they're coming from all over. You can find a list on our website there of things that our firefighters need. There's a long list, about 20 or 30 items that we'll, if you want to gather those up, we'll get those to them. There's a long list there of what the farmers and ranchers need up there. You know, a lot of these people are cotton farmers, and they missed crop last year and the year before. They're already financially pretty strapped. I know, talked to one family up there that lost 700 head of cattle, all the cattle they had,
Thank goodness.
Those cows right now about $2,500 to $3,000 a piece for a good young cow. So add that up. Another family lost 200 head, the whole herd. Makes it pretty rough for them to bounce back.
God bless and protect our ranchers and, of course, the firefighters trying to contain this thing. So what is it, the containment of this fire? 10, 15, 20%? What's the last you heard?
The big fire, we finally got some headway on it. Yesterday, I haven't got the new update this morning. We'll have one probably before lunch. But 44% contained on the big fire.
That's good.
Yeah. The Smokehouse Creek fire.
Yeah.
The others are anywhere from 60% to put out, 100% put out.
All right.
So we're making good headway. If we can get a little rain and keep some cooler weather. Yeah. High winds are our biggest. High winds, low humidity are our biggest enemy.
Yeah, that's
we're still researching to see what happened. They haven't determined the cause of the fire, but I know there's been 5 lawsuits filed against XL Energy for their power lines being on the blowing down, and those lawsuits contend that it was high winds and the power line sparking that caused the fire.
All right. If you'd like to help in any way, any rancher, any farmer, anyone, you got some hay, money for fuel, anything, a star fund. Look for the Texas Department of Agriculture, and they'll provide a list of how they're trying to help all these farmers, ranchers in the Texas Panhandle, now moving into Oklahoma, trying to contain all these wildfires. Commissioner, thank you so much for the update. Thanks for your time. You be safe, my friend.
You too.
Sid Miller, Ag Commissioner for the state of Texas. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. We're going to pay some bills right now, but stick around. I got some breaking news for you. Boots on the ground. U.S. boots on the ground in Gaza. That's part of what's expected from the speech tonight from Joe Biden. Stick around. I'll tell you why on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Coming at you from South Texas, we're on blessed soil. That's right, it's the state of Texas, USA, USA. It's the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. Lord willing, she'll be back with us next week. So we got some breaking news right now as we learn bit by bit what's in the speech, that information being released. So we got boots on the ground. We will have American boots on the ground in Gaza. That's right, the Israeli conflict against Hamas. Okay, so here, the State of the Union address tonight, Joe Biden is going to announce an order for the U.S. military to be on the ground, build a port in the Gaza Strip for delivery of humanitarian aid because Hamas, this terrorist group, has been stealing any, all aid that's been going into Gaza. So there you go. We got our men and women on the ground here pretty soon. All right, Steve, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Speaking of bad decisions. Okay. Let's lighten things up. Florida guy, Florida man, claiming he was simply trying to flirt with another traveler in the waiting area when he made some wisecrack about having a bomb in his bag at the airport. Man, if you got a friend named Jack, you know the last thing you should ever do is say, "Hi, Jack. Hi, Jack." Bomb is another word you just should never say. So this guy, 7-year-old guy, he said he was trying to be funny. He was trying to impress flirt with somebody. A couple of other people heard him say something about a bomb in his bag going off prematurely. He apologizes to the family. So those two who overheard called police, and that dude taken into custody. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
How bad must it have been before for Joe Scarborough to claim such an unashamed and, I mean, what else do I call it but damaging piece of propaganda? Joe Scarborough, you have no shame, Joe Scarborough. Seriously, dude, you are, you and all your colleagues, the ilk over at MSNBC, all you crazy leftists, lying leftists, Marxists, you guys are a real danger. You're keeping a lot of people. And see, people are free to choose the media that they consume, and they consume you in large volumes. Too many, way too many consume you in large volumes, keeping themselves willfully ignorant and stupid. An uninformed electorate, that's the biggest danger right now. And that's what Joe Scarborough is contributing to. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show. We're broadcasting from affiliate KURV. In South Texas, it's email Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, at KURV.com. On Twitter, X, our neighbor, Elon Musk, here at Starbase in Brownsville, it's at Sergio Talk, at Sergio Talk. Propaganda, man, from all these crazy leftists defending, carrying the water for Joe Biden and all these America-hating, destroying, radical leftists. This, I've said it a million times before, this is not your daddy's Democrat Party. And I know it pains me to say this, but sadly, in media and in politics and leadership that is absent right now on the Republican side, they need to be connecting the dots at this very moment, these days, since the election, in essence, will be determined, the presidential election, all the, you know, all these delegates, they will be determined by literally a handful, if not maybe a half dozen, swing states. So you think that we will have leadership, and of course the Republicans are the party of the rich, right? They have plenty of friends. They get to call and get some money in there, concentrated, let's say, on 6 or 7 states and about 40 congressional seats that might be up for grabs, left and right. They oscillate, they go DNR, focus on that. Oh, no, we got no leadership focusing on that. We got no money because we had no leadership that were focusing on that. I am afraid and disappointed that, you know, while opportunity knocks at the door to make wholesale a major change in American politics for the sake of protecting our country, opportunity knocking at the door to get rid, to flush a bunch of these leftist, radical Marxists, especially in the at least those 40 seats that supposedly, you know, 35, 40 seats that could oscillate, go DR. They need to go back solid to the R side. Just focus on proper messaging. Get the money that you need from the money bags, the rich Republicans. I'll say, look, we got a ground game we need to play. The Republican National Committee, change up your leadership. Which, by the way, that's supposed to happen pretty soon. Let me mention this real quick, because Super Tuesday, the 16 states, and this goes for both parties, many times in many of these states, like 2 weeks afterwards, like maybe 1.5 weeks, 2 weeks, the rules are different from place to place. But I can tell you here in Texas, as an example, this is what we have. We have party primaries. You choose R, You choose D. You go vote. And then about 2-3 weeks after, you have the conventions at your local level, the county convention. You get together and you figure out who's going to go to the state convention, develop the platform, and then you eventually go to the national convention. And that's where a lot of the people that have, you know, I was told before I was volunteered as Republican chairman, with the help of so many young people and precinct chairs, courageous people, people who funded local doctors and business people who funded the creation of a permanent Republican headquarters in deep blue country, Rio Grande Valley, Hidalgo County. As we set that up here in South Texas, I was told by a previous chairman, God bless him, Hollis Rittledge. I'm going to mention your name on national radio, brother. I renamed him just to, I rebranded him for a younger audience. I call him Hot Liz now. He told me, Serge, what you're about to do as volunteer chairman to try to set up a party down here. Well, set up an HQ. That was my passion for it. But it's a thankless job. And there's two forms of Republicans. One is the sweat equity. That would be me. And all the volunteers, the young people, young clubs, women's clubs. Sweat equity. We're not millionaires. You know, I may have the talent to be, you know, doing some good radio and good talking and all that. But no, I don't have a Dana Lash salary. I don't have a Rush Limbaugh salary. Maybe someday, maybe Jesus will open up the door for that. But there's a sweat equity and there's the money side of politics. Right now, with all these local conventions, to go to state convention that will throw people to national convention, here's where the money people show up. The ones that behind the scene will fill the 10-gallon hat with a $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 donation in many places here in Texas, and they will get themselves a ticket to attend the state convention and then catapult to the national convention with all the lights and the cameras and all the national attention. Get to see Donald Trump and take pictures with him, all that. Does that sound unsavory to you? Yes, I know. That's what I had to volunteer in, had on the sweat equity side. And yes, but for people who never showed up to local meetings, never just helped out with the parties, never helped out with, you know, the phone banking or block walking or registering people to vote, you know, all those clubs and the training and all the mechanics and everything that went into party politics. Yeah, there's some people with some deep pockets. They just able on both sides, Democrat, Republican, they're able to pay their way in to the national convention, despite the fact that they never showed up. They don't know. And who are these people? It's like everybody on the same bus and the same thing going to a national convention. Who are these people? Who are they? Oh, that's one of the money guys or one of the money gals. That's what we have right now. So you got those conventions coming up here around the corner. Just reminding you of that because that's the way you get in there. I got something to say about some of these platforms and the agendas that are developed for state parties and national parties. I'll share that with you tomorrow because it was very obvious where we are right now. Radical left on the Democrat and where we are, America first, for the most part, America first-minded policies and ideas that are deemed as racist and xenophobic by the radical left on the other side. We'll talk about more about that tomorrow. But all these people that remain willfully ignorant and don't exercise any of the gray matter between their ears. Well, leftist media, and it's from my point of view, the damage that they're doing for these willfully ignorant people who blindly, they just hate Donald Trump. That's it. And he's uncouth. He sounds uneducated. He's unpolished. He says stupid things. Yes, yes, he does. He's not a politician. Not everyone's dog catcher. But that's the entire base. That is the foundation. Because the ideas that Donald Trump wants, just make America great again, or America first mindset. That's what we desperately need. That we are so far removed from that. I told you at the end of last hour, some of the breaking news, with Joe Biden speaking to the nation tonight, you know, we're going to have boots on the ground in Gaza here pretty soon because the terror group Hamas, whatever aid has been sent in there, whatever airdrops have been provided by our military, our U.S. military, trying to get over Gaza and drop pallets of food or water or whatever because these folks, these Arabs, I try not to call them Palestinians because they're Arabs. They're Arabs. They're Egyptian or they have some other type of. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. And I don't have to tell you that because you're informed in this audience. No such thing as Palestinian people. There's no such thing as a Palestinian state ever. These are Arabs. And whatever was dropped as far as airdrop food and medicine to all these people, they're just in the corner where Egypt is not letting them in to escape the war that Israel is bringing to Hamas, because the terror group Hamas, these butchers, they're the ones who started the war and killed innocents and women and kids and raped all these children and women and shot up all these families. They are the ones who started the war. There was no ceasefire on October 7th on the part of these terrorists. All the aid that Americans are providing, all the aid that our military has been flying in to provide for these individuals, is because Hamas, this terror group Hamas, they're stealing all the aid. They're stealing the food. They're stealing the medicine. So now, someone's son, many American sons, and several American daughters, maybe, they will soon be on the ground in Gaza. Did you know that? That is part of the messaging for tonight. Well, because it's an emergency humanitarian situation that they have to respond to, and they need to put boots on the ground to develop a beachhead. The State of the Union speech tonight, President Joe Biden is going to announce an order for emergency military action to build a port in the Gaza Strip for delivery of humanitarian aid, because all the humanitarian aid that has been provided so far has been stolen. All these aid trucks have been stolen by the terror group Hamas. No wonder. It's no wonder why recruitment for all branches in our American military are way, way down. I don't blame American families of whatever political persuasion or religious persuasion they are, folks who are proud to have a military history, where their fathers and grandfathers, uncles, or other family, they served our nation. Either they were drafted or they did so voluntarily. They served our nation. At this time, they're hesitant because they don't trust Joe Biden. They don't trust this administration. They don't trust the woke leftist ideas and the management over at the Pentagon. Recruitment is way down. And that's a conversation I'm going to share with you in just a little later on this hour on the program. Like, what it would take in order to turn things around and increase recruitment in our military. And it's scary to think what would need to happen. But that's some of the breaking news from D.C. These pack of lies that are provided from the left. Fake news. At one time, the leftists who would not agree with any conservative talk, they would refer to us, would refer to anybody who comments on, you know, liberty-minded ideas. They would call it misinformation. And in social media sites, would want to shut down misinformation. These overactive thought police on Facebook, Instagram, the former Twitter before Elon Musk went in there and saved it, allowed people to express themselves no matter what, right and left, just go at it, right? All these thought police, all these Karens on Twitter, on Facebook, that would kick you out, throw you in an online jail for several days, take your ability to make any money on YouTube if you did not conform to their way of thinking. When it came to anything, national defense, border, comments about history, and of course COVID just made that mess even worse. So all this fake news, that's Joe Scarborough, that comment from earlier this month, that this version of Joe Biden, analytically, intellectually, the best Biden he's ever seen. That doesn't say much about the Biden before, because he's a blithering idiot right now. He's a buffoon. Everything that Joe Scarborough and Joyless Reid and all these other fools on the left, man, it definitely rivals any pack of lies. Think about it. Any pack of lies broadcast by state-owned media in North Korea or Iran to keep thugs in power. Because that, in essence, is what they're advocating. The thugs that provide this Biden border mess and excuse it, and the thugs who overspend and print all this fake money and create all this inflation, all these, keep those thugs in power. That, in essence, without a government salary, voluntarily trying to do the work of what in other states like North Korea, Iran, other places, would be state-owned media. They are state-owned. Their minds, their hearts, their souls, state-owned, voluntarily. It is so sad. And they're dragging millions of low-information voters with them. police your family, police your children. Because, man, we got a lot of work to do to save this country come November. And if we vote stupidly again, let me connect the dots. Yeah, you vote for National Democrats. You vote for in the House and the Senate at the White House. Man, we are royally screwed. Lord help us. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Very important information for anyone, friends, family, business people, anyone who dares to be in Haiti. The U.S. government is urging all American citizens to leave Haiti. It seems like the government is collapsing. There's violence everywhere. And it's the criminal gangs that control Port-au-Prince, the capital. And Oscar Mayer is in the news because they've got this new plant-based hot dog and sausages. The company announcing their new... And my goodness, some people... what's wrong with these managers hiring these marketing idiots? I kid you not, the name of the product will be Not Hot Dog, Not Sausages. Well, I'm not buying it. So there you go. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, The Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Sandra, he simply crossed the river right near where we are. Let's go up in the air and we'll show you the area where that individual crossed. CBP sources confirm that 2 weeks ago today, 40-year-old Colombian national named Carlos Sobed Yepes Bedoya crossed in this area, was apprehended by DPS first, turned over to Border Patrol, and was a positive match to the terror watch list. Now,
Yeah, just put another one. Yeah. There it is, just another one of the dozens and dozens and dozens, well over 100 plus, 150, 160 plus individuals on the terror watch list crossing at Joe Biden's open border on the U.S. Southwest. I'm Sergio Sanchez, yeah, reporting to you from Texas, the border, in fact, from the RGV of Texas. You know, Star Base, Texas, where Elon Musk is at? Yeah, that's where we are, here in Deep South Texas, KURV affiliate. Yeah, that issue of illegal immigration, of course, you'll never see Joe Biden admit to the fact that he made the mess. But dealing with it, all cities in the interior. And Joe Biden, again, as I told you, he's the one under his administration. Yeah, they've been flying and allowing folks to come into the country by the hundreds of thousands. They've been through non-government organizations, NGOs, and some of the vouchers and travel vouchers and a nice shower and some soup and new flip-flops and, of course, a little folder with some temporary identification, a standard government document to allow them to get on the plane, despite the fact that you have to go through all sorts of hoops to get on the plane as a U.S. citizen. Yeah, those people sitting next to you coming into the interior. In the state of Massachusetts, for example, folks were, you know, many of the sanctuary cities. Oh, now they're reacting. They're pushing back against all these millions, billions of dollars they're spending. It's housing. Housing and medical care and education and you name it, the food and some of that they don't like that they throw out, all the extra security, police work that they need, all those things that go into developing and providing and, you know, contributing to a lawful society. You're now having to provide for a bunch of lawless individuals who broke the law to begin with. They jumped the line, broke the law, crossed illegally, gamed the asylum system, and there you go, Massachusetts. So now, I wonder who is going to call, you know, all these radical leftists that want open borders. I wonder if they're going to call lawmakers in Massachusetts like xenophobes and meanies, just like Donald Trump. House lawmakers in Massachusetts, they're now going to put some limits on the time that individuals, you know, families can spend in emergency shelters run by the state of Massachusetts. So they got this language that's going to limit shelter time to, and it's still going to be expensive because they're still going to allow them 9 consecutive months as part of an overall, you know, spending measure they're debating right now in Boston. 9-month limit. That's a long time, don't you think? 9-month limit, which is only, by the way, only a fraction of the time for some of these individuals that are gaming the asylum system that they will be spending. They're here to stay, people, unless we begin a massive deportation program. It would need to happen under Donald Trump, and this country will need to find the courage and the you-know-whats in order to get it done. individuals who crossed illegally, first of all, that are gaming. You want asylum, you need to go back. You need to leave. And it's a gargantuan undertaking. You thought it was bad before. So, sure, these people, these few million people that we have, they're not going to go back. Well, can you imagine the carrot that they will have to develop? They're going to have to give them, not have to, but I suspect these pandering politicians will create a path to citizenship for illegals who are gaming the asylum system in this country. So you go back, and it's kind of like George Bush, George W. Bush. There was a similar program under him. Well, you guys go back from your country of origin, and you apply. And then after so many years, we'll consider you come in and become citizens. How about you guys pass a law that you cross the border illegally? You never qualify for U.S. citizenship, but we don't have the you-know-whats in this country to do something like that. But that's what it's going to take, because we have at least 10 million more illegals in this country, thanks to Joe Biden and his open border mindset. And cities like Boston, like New York, like Washington, like Chicago, and so on and so forth, having to deal with this. And now lawmakers in that state wrestling with this, saying, oh, no, not more than 9 consecutive months, which is nothing compared to the 6 years that these people are in line to be heard for asylum. So they want to limit that for all these people. And the shelter system, of course, stretched beyond capacity, they say, by the flood of migrant families. No, they're illegal immigrants. That's the problem. By the way, that whole news that I shared with you, Joe Biden tonight is going to be announcing that we have our precious American treasure, young men, and Lord knows how many young women, that are going to Israel. They're going to the Gaza area. Joe Biden going to announce in tonight's speech, State of the Union speech, we have our young men and women, U.S. military, going to be conducting some sort of emergency mission on the ground, American boots on the ground. A temporary port in Gaza, they say. All temporary. Yeah, that temporary ward's going to go out really, really quick. Going to open a maritime route for all the humanitarian aid that a terrorist group, Hamas, has been stealing this whole time. All I see here is American young men, our most precious treasure, our American sons and daughters that are going to be put in harm's way. And I don't know how far any wall or border is from the actual fighting. But when you get our young men and women in an area that is maybe, God forbid, a sniper's scope, rifle distance away from being taken out. They hate Hamas, these Islamic radicals. They hate Israel, and they hate Americans and American soldiers just as much as they hate Israel. We're putting our young men and women in harm's way. Isn't all this aid? Don't you think all this aid that these Arabs, so-called Palestinians that they keep referring to, they're actually in essence Egyptians or some other Arabs. Don't you think that it is the role, the responsibility of fellow Arabs nearby to open up their borders and take care of these folks? Isn't it all this aid that's being provided by the U.S., the airdrops, and now on the ground, our sons and daughters are going to be there pretty soon? Isn't this the responsibility of fellow Arab countries? They're rich. They're flooded with money thanks to all that oil. Or how about giving Israel an opportunity to provide some of this aid? Like even the airdrops. Allow Israel to try to heal a new generation somehow. Wean them away from all this hate that's thrown at them. And just crazy situation that we're in. The world is upside down. Don't vote stupidly come November, people. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. Recruitment for our military, it's just awful. What will it take to get the roles back up? Here's a conversation with a friend who's a veteran, a Marine. Recruitment numbers are very low in U.S. military. Let me bring in 14-year career with the U.S. Marine Corps, Todd Boding. In your mind, Todd, some of the issues that are at play right now, why recruitment is so low across all military branches?
Starting with that question, the reason it's low across the board has everything to do with a lack of purpose, lack of focus, lack of mission focus specifically. if you look at the recruiting websites, here's what you see. With one exception, you see things that relate to college opportunities, bonus monies, and things of that nature. What you don't see on the Marine Corps, and I'm not, this is not an opportunity to tout the Marine Corps, but it is the difference between why the Marine Corps is not having the challenges that the other three are having. On the Marine Corps website, it's all about having an opportunity to earn the Eagle, Globe, and Acre. So in other words, we're not giving you anything other than an opportunity. That creates a very different atmosphere than what the other branches are creating. And I've got great friends in the other branches, and they are wonderful people. They're wonderful organizations. But in my opinion, if they just refocused why those people are there, if it's there to earn a college degree, guess what? That's not the right reason. Mm-hmm. If it's there to earn a bonus, that's not the right reason. You got to want to be there because it is a much larger sense of duty. And if we appeal to the social nature of people in that regard, I don't think we have these problems that we're dealing with right now.
You think the headlines related to all the woke recruitment efforts by this military these days under this administration is discouraging families that have that sense of duty and would prefer that their children serve in the military, but maybe they just don't want to, under this administration, under this woke culture, on this cultural transformation that the Pentagon seems to be used as a petri dish for, maybe they don't want their kids in there.
The quote-unquote woke agenda, it started before this administration. And I'm not saying that this administration has not done a poor job of accelerating some of that, but this has infiltrated the military long before President Biden, even before President Trump. And that, again, goes back to what I was saying. We're not focused on the right things. The purpose of the United States military is to defend our country. And obviously, there's a lot of challenges right now down in your neck of the woods with the border. And that is a big part of it. We're not focused on the mission. We're focused on a completely different agenda. You lose people in that regard because you're not highlighting your identity and you're not staying true to your identity. It's a very confusing message to a younger generation that quite honestly is a very smart generation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't highlight your identity and stay true to it, what reason are you giving them to come join you other than those, I think, fabricated reasons of college or bonuses, because those are short-term. They're not long-term.
Todd Boding is a 14-year career veteran, a Marine, served our country, and is now working with a group called Carry the Load. Tell me more about that here in just a little bit. But in the meantime, we're talking about recruitment, low recruitment across the board for all military branches. Are we vulnerable right now to the point where we might need a draft, Todd, in order to replace all these young men and women who are not volunteering to protect our country?
Well, I think it's always a concern. I don't think we're at that point. I'm going to give you a very hot sports opinion. I think if we ended up going to war with China for any number of reasons, what you would see is this unbridled patriotism, just as we saw it in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think people would rally around that cause. I'm not saying that we should go to war with China. But what I'm saying is if it ever got to that point, we're not just going to roll over and say, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. Now, some people will, but the majority of the American public as a whole are going to rally around the cause.
You know what I fear, Todd, is what would need to happen for everyone to rally around that cause. Because I think if China were to try to swallow Taiwan, I don't think the American people would be willing to send their children to defend Taiwan. It would need to be China attacking the U.S. somehow, maybe taking down the electric grid or some cyber attack that kills people, and we confirm that it's China, or some hot fire event that happens out in sea and sinks an American ship. It would need to be a direct hit to the U.S., in order to rally the country. I don't see China on Taiwan or the Ukrainian, Russian fight right now. I don't see any of that motivating American families to go out there and defend or fight in defense of Ukraine, defense of Taiwan. They would need to defend America. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with you. You look at the wars where we have been involved, where it was a quote unquote popular war. It resulted from the United States, our sovereignty being attacked, and so I agree with you 100%. Just because we're going to defend Taiwan is not a good reason to go to war with China. However, you and I don't make that call.
Marine veteran Todd Boding, also with Carry the Load. What is that, brother?
So Carry the Load is about connecting Americans to the true sacrifice. And what do I mean by the true sacrifice? That is Memorial Day. On Memorial Day every year, that's kind of our big gathering event. And what we do is we pay homage to those individuals who never got to take off the uniform. I was fortunate. I got to take off the uniform a final time, hang it in the closet, and I was home. Memorial Day is about those who never got that opportunity. And so we want to make sure that the families of their loved ones understand their death mattered. And it was for a reason, and that reason is to be revered. So that's what Carry the Load is all about, is making sure that their families understand that their death mattered.
How do folks find you, and how do folks find Carry the Load if they want more information on this effort?
CarryTheLoad.org.
Easy enough. Thank you, Todd. Be safe, brother.
Thank you very much.
From CarryTheLoad.org, Todd Boding. Thanks to my new buddy, Larry. Larry! Out in Vegas. I got a safe game for you to play tonight if you're watching the State of the Union speech. Don't you dare do a drinking game. You guys are going to dry. You guys are going to die from alcohol poisoning. So we got a safer game for you that he found from Daily Caller. And I'll share that when we come back. Got to pay some bills right now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show from South Texas, still on blessed soil. It is the mighty Republic of Texas, the Lone Star State. From the RGV of Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash, Sergio at KURV.com, at Sergio Talk on Twitter. So some of the other news of the day. So we've got, a few days back, it was Finland. So now it's Sweden. Sweden is now officially a NATO member nation. So, God forbid, one of Vladimir Putin's missiles lands in the wrong place. There you go. Everybody, off to war. It triggers the chain reaction and the domino effects. God forbid. Hey, I want to say again, thanks to my new buddy, Larry, out in Vegas. So he found this and he posted it on Twitter. I shared it again on X, on Twitter. Something from Daily Caller. I don't know if it's theirs originally, but they put out the safe version of following the speech tonight. Do it like bingo style. We're going to have to move the words around, so the lines are drawn different as far as the bingo. So, like, things that are said, like MAGA Republicans, fair share, democracy, come on, man, all that stuff. Yeah, you don't want to do a drinking game with any of those terms. You guys are going to die of alcohol poisoning. All right, Steve, let's do the stupid audio of the day. What you got?
All right, Rachel Maddow. She has a little bit of a threat. We heard a lot of fear-mongering, but this one might take the cake. Here we go.
The Republican Party will not save us here. We cannot wait for the Republican Party to wake up. Nothing is going to happen inside the Republican Party other than efforts to get Donald Trump what he wants, which is to get rid of our form of government. The only way the country gets saved is if Republicans are blocked by the Democratic process because Democrats win instead.
Man, she's an alien from another universe. My goodness. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. Join us tomorrow again on The Dana Show.